Wow, what a historic series win for the USA men cricket team in the T20 International Series against Bangladesh. It's a proud moment for the USA cricket fans. So this video will do an overview of the three-match T20 International Series that USA cricket has won. Again, I have my buddy Mark joining me all the way from Atlanta this week. You know, he's traveling for more cricket and my buddy's ready to score a century today. But before he does that, we're going to talk this USA cricket victory. So Mark, welcome on the show, brother. Happy Sunday. Are you gearing up for your own match today? I know. But also, how happy are you about the USA victory over Bangladesh in the series?
Morning, Nabil. Yeah, thanks for having me back on the show, man. Listen to me, man. I'm raring and excited to go. I'm happy for the USA. They're showing, making good strides. It's a decent team, well-balanced team, good batting and good bowling. And they put up a good display in those matches so far. And hats off to the skipper. You know, you got to give the skipper some credit. Bangladesh is not by means any walkover. So they had to play it out of their skin to get a victory in that series against Bangladesh.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Bangladesh came prepared. You know, I mean, it seemed like it may have been a bit rusty, but they had a full stretch squad. USA as well played top team in the first two T20 internationals. In the third T20, we saw, you know, some major changes, four or five changes. Their main players ended up, you know, they just ended up resting them. You know, I don't know if that was the right approach. You know, it's in the end of the series, Mark. What do you think there, man? Do you think they should have gone for the whitewash, especially when you have the chance to do it, you know, in a historic way? Why bench four guys, four of your best players, to, you know, let Bangladesh off the hook in the last game?
Well, they basically was testing their bench strength. And it's okay because they already won the series. So there's not more to prove. A series win is a series win. So they just want to see the bench strength, how the guys on the bench is going to do at this level. Remember, USA does not play cricket too much at this higher level. We play against a lot of associate teams, right? So playing against a test nation like Bangladesh, I think was the right thing to do. At least they know where the weakness is, the strengths, and which areas they want to work with and which areas they want to improve on. The management, I think, made the right choice.
Absolutely, man. That sounds good. I mean, it makes sense, you know, but I just feel like we don't get this kind of an opportunity as often, right? Because we don't play full member nations that often. And if you get a chance to whitewash a full member nation, even, I get it, you got to test the bench strength. These guys, I think, should have gone and played those four guys because it's all about momentum, taking it into the World Cup. And even though winning those two games won them the series, but losing the last three games, exposing the bench strength, kind of didn't feel like the right way for me to think about it. Unless you have good bench strength, it didn't show like that USA cricket does. You know, so how do you see that, man? Because injuries can be part of the game and one guy can get hurt. And we're heavily reliant on these three, four players. You know, how do we improve this bench strength, Mark, first of all, you know, for the World Cup? I mean, the World Cup squad's announced, these guys are there, but what's next from the improvement perspective of the bench strength?
They know the main, those main players, all right? They're very good cricketers in their own right, perform pretty good over the time period. Bringing in the other guys, you know, just to give them the exposure, you know, just to get them to get that nerves off their back, you know, because at this level, it's a step up. You have to test all the players. You never know that the strength of a team depends on the weakest link. You never know when you might need these guys to feature. Injuries, all this kind of stuff, pitch condition, situations and matches. So I just think it's a right call because we don't play too much of international. USA does not play too much of international cricket. Bangladesh, by means, is a good team. And I think it's the right choice. World Cup is around the corner. If the USA could win a couple matches, a couple eyebrows might turn. You just never know. But I think it's a step in the right direction, right? And it would give those guys, even if they mightn't or they didn't perform to the best of their ability, would give them some confidence to know, okay, they belong in the international arena, right? So I think his management made a good choice.
Absolutely, man. I feel you. I totally feel you there. So with that, man, let's view three T20 internationals. You know, we want to review some scorecards. So on my screen, I'm going to bring up the first T20 international scorecard. We'll review that, look at the performances of both sides, and, you know, try and pick out, you know, some good and some bad, positives, negatives for, you know, both sides. So this is the first, you know, T20 international scorecard up on my screen. You know, Bangladesh batted first, 153 for six, and USA ended up chasing it down in 19.3 overs with five wickets to spare, 156 from Bangladesh. Tauhid Hiridoy got a 50, you know, 31 by Bamadoula, 20 from Soumya Sarkar, you know, and the bowling effort by the USA men was strong bowling effort. You know, Ali Khan went for some runs, Saurabh Netravalkar, Jasdeep Singh, Stephen Taylor, Corey Anderson, Harmeet Singh. All these guys are coming off pretty well in this bowling lineup, Mark. So Where do you see for USA, man, like where they can make more adjustments to improve, you know, this bowling attack? It seems like, you know, for Stephen Taylor, for example, bowled 3 overs for 9 runs, perhaps could have bowled another over, you know, Corey Anderson, 2 over 10 runs. So is it like they have too many options to choose from in their lineup, or do they not, you know who our best 5 or 6 bowlers are of that team? Because that's what it appears to be to me, because it's like different options they can give it a shot to in the lineup. 7, 8, 9 guys can bowl in this lineup. So how does the captain decide, like, who to give the ball to on which day?
Well, a lot of times you just got to mix up the pace and the variations. All these bowlers bowl a different variety. So that's why the captain bowl 6 bowlers. Corey Anderson don't really bowl too much, but back in the day, he was a good medium pacer. Yeah. The captain is just looking for some options. Stephen Taylor, yes, with his off breaks, he could have bowled a full quarter. Ali Khan was an off day for him. He went for 49 runs, so he could have bowled maybe 3 over. Different than that, all the bowling figures are very decent. I like the guy, Hamid Singh. I think he's a character. I think he's a good cricketer. I like him. Jesse bowled well, 3 overs for 30 runs, 1 wicket. So right now, I think the bowling look decent enough. Nacho Valka, the camp season campaigner, always there about, not the quickest, but put the balls in the right areas, and he all seems to do a good job for USA.
A guy like Noshtus Kenjige, I think we brought him up in our other conversations in the past, Mark, you know, so he's been selected in there as a left arm spinner, not given an over in this team. That's what I'm trying to understand, like, what's the mindset of selecting 11 when you're either not going to use that particular skill set based on whatever the situation may be during that game, or you're just making the wrong calls, or you're using the players in an imbalanced sort of way. So that's where I'm trying to find this balance for this team.
Yeah, sometimes the captain tends to miss the trick, right? And sometimes it goes by the matchup. So you might have a left-handed batsman bowling. A left-handed batsman at the crease. And you don't want to bowl a left-arm spinner into him, right? Into his strong point. So sometimes those little things, sometimes the captain missed the trick. So that's the reason why I think he wasn't bowled that much. But every now and again it happens. Yeah. The captain might have a little explanation for it. So, I mean, we just got to go with what we see on display.
And it was a head-scratcher for me, because if you're selected as a left-arm spinner into the team, you know, and you don't get to bat or bowl, you know, what are you in the team for, right? I mean, I get it, it's a T20 game, but if you're selected at number 10 in the lineup, you're clearly playing as a bowler in the team. So you got to get at least an over or two, right?
Yes.
If that's your skill or if that's your specialist job.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. Listen to me, man. It happened to me many times. I'm in the team as a batsman, a bowler, and don't get a bat or don't get a bowl. So it's just a game sometimes. So sometimes we can't really read into it.
Does that show like a lack of confidence in a certain player? Because we played cricket for a long time. We've captained our teams for a long time. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's, you know, a way to kind of keep certain players that you don't have confidence in, not bring them in a heated situation or in a situation where they can actually come and perform. I'm not sure, right? But I'm trying to figure out like why he didn't bowl in that game, because it's a head scratcher.
Yeah, I just think it's just the skipper missed the trick, honestly, because Ken Drabi is a guy in the team most of the time, and he's been bowling his overs and doing well. So I just thought that the captain missed the trick, brought in Stephen Taylor and maybe try Corey Anderson a couple overs just to see how it goes. You know, but it doesn't mean that Ken Drabi is not going to be a full part of the team. It's just a one-off game. I would love to think that as a captain, thinking from the captain point of view.
This game, Harmeet Singh, as you mentioned earlier, Mark, was the man of the match. And, you know, he's an impact player, man. He's an impact player, scored 33 off 13 balls, bowled his 4 overs, 27 runs. So this guy is probably our best T20 player right now. I think it's, you know, really, really good addition from the USA cricket perspective, because he brings a different energy to the team, I feel like.
Yeah, he's a good player. I watched him the Major League last year. I like him very much. He's a very good player.
You know, this is the second scorecard for, you know, the USA Bangladesh T20 International. It was the second match, and Ali Khan was the hero in this one with 3 for 25 and closing the game out, defending 144, which USA made batting first. You know, Manang Patel, 41 off 38. Andres Gauss got a duck. Stephen Taylor, 31 off 28. Aaron Jones, 35 off 34. Corey Anderson, 11 off 10. Harmeet Singh didn't do much with a bat in that game. Nitish Kumar, 7 off of 3. Same thing with Shadley Van Schalkwyk. And here, Mark, in the middle order, I feel like, right? So Stephen Taylor, Manang Patel have been, you know, solid up front, you know, not as quick in scoring as we would like them to be, you know, scoring at 110 strike rate, each of them. Do you think that suffices at this level, Mark, or do these guys guys. Obviously, you know, we're associate nation, but these strike rates can be improved upon, as you can see.
Yeah, it's just a matter of one of those guys decided that they have to up the tempo and up the ante and get their strike rate at least up to 140. But different than that, I mean, they're the two best opening batsmen they have currently. It's a new team at this level. So sometimes you always want to give the team a good start. You might try to have a high strike rate and then give early wickets away and set the team back. And these other guys are not hard hitters of the ball. Most of these batsmen at the time of the ball. Only Corey Anders, I think, in the lower mid order can hit the ball a long way. I think they're doing just fine for now. But once we get to the World Cup, then they would need to just up the ante and up the tempo a little bit more.
I think so too. I think Andreas Gaus is a good person to do that. He plays aggressive, but there's too many of the similar players, I feel like. I mean, and Taylor tries to be aggressive, but again, you take some balls to do that. And then same thing with Monang Patel and Aaron Jones, you know, similar type of a game. These guys are all batting at 110, 105 around strike rates, right? And then you have a guy like Nitish Kumar, I think, who's, you know, who was a Canadian national player, ex-national, and then, you know, came over to the U.S. and now is in the U.S. setup, again, with a similar type of a game. And then you have a guy like, you know, Jaskaran Malhotra, who's probably one of the best power hitters in the country, doesn't get a look in into the squad, right? Into the World Cup squad. Whoa. So do you think a guy like Jaskaran Malhotra, you know, who has a record of hitting six sixes, six balls, could it fit in this lineup over one of these guys who are potentially playing, you know, with a similar type of a style?
Yes, but this, with the Malhotra situation, it could be not cricket. It could be something else, right? Because if you're based on ability, he's above, a touch above a couple of these other guys. But you know how cricket selections and committees goes and administration, you know, sometimes it's just not cricket. It's different other off-field stuff. And that's the only reason I could think. Because pound for pound, he's better than a couple of these guys. I don't want to pick out names, but the record has shown, and his contribution to cricket in America and US Open and all those tournaments show. So I think it's just not cricket. It's something else.
I agree with you, man. I think that's a guy that we're missing big time. And he could have made a big impact in this squad, you know, because he's a match winner. And you need those match winners, especially in T20 cricket. I know we were talking earlier, Mark, how the small moments in a game of T20 cricket, you know, can define that entire match. One person hitting a six, or one person, you know, taking a catch or doing something. So impact players, you know, we saw a guy like Harmeet Singh in the first T20 score 33 off 13 balls and became a hero in USA cricket. So just little things like that, man, who have the ability, we should bring them forward. And not to say none of the 15 guys don't have ability in here, but I still feel like from a skill perspective, there may be a big gap with a guy like Jaskaran and a couple of the names, you know, in the squad. So, you know, that's just my opinion. You know, that's their batting lineup. I think it can be much improved upon. They can be scoring close to 180, 190, you know, with the right type of strike rates. And they're going to get to face better bowling lineups as well. Bangladesh bowling lineup, it's one of the better ones that they've had, with Shakib, Mustafizur, Tanzim, and Shariful. And in the World Cup, they'll have the other fast bowler that they have, Taskeen.
Yes, Taskeen, a new fast bowler. Yes.
Taskeen Ahmed. Yeah, yes, Taskeen Ahmed. Yes, so he's another good fast bowler. Hopefully, you know, in the upcoming games, they'll do well. So let's look at the third T20 international, where US ended up losing fairly easily when they made four changes into the lineup. So this is the third T20 international. USA bowled out for 104. Mustafizur Rahman, man of the match. 6 wickets for 10 runs. What a spell of bowling. Probably his best T20 figures. The changes. Shayan Jahangir came in. I think he's one of the better prospects that we have. I think an ex-under-19 Pakistan player. Very aggressive at the top. You know, got a run there. Didn't do much. Andreas Gaus showed what he can do at the top of the order. 27 off 15. I think he's a player to watch out for, you know. And again, Nitish Kumar, Milind Kumar, I don't know, you know, what these guys' roles are in the team. Nitish Kumar, 3 runs off of 9 balls. Milind Kumar, 7 off of 20. Just a wasted effort, right, Mark? So I'm not sure what these guys are brought in to do, what their performances are behind the scenes.
Yeah, the honest truth is Milind Kumar hasn't done much in U.S. cricket. I know he did well. He's a first-class player, ex-first-class player in India. But since he's moved to the USA, he hasn't really let the world on fire. Hasn't really, to me, not impressive. Even minor league, right? Major league, minor league. So a lot of times, this is just going off names. Let's not judge them too hard. This is the first match in the series. I mean, the USA didn't play well in the last match. Only scored 104 runs. You're playing against another team. So let's give hats off to Bangladesh. They show their class in the last match. They're just probably getting acclimatized and to the conditions and everybody acclimatized to the match's performance. So hats off to Bangladesh. They're test playing nations, so you can't write them off. And they score 108 without loss. Tazid Hassan 58 and Shoma Shaka 43. Show their class, you know. So, you know, hats off to Bangladesh and congratulations to them on a match win. at least it wasn't whitewashed.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. They avoided the whitewash, you know, and the other two changes in the USA lineup with Shayan Jahangir and Noshtush Kenjiga came back. Nisarg Patel, my buddy Nisarg, came back into the lineup. Again, I mean, you know, similar thing, Mark, you know. I think Nisarg came into the lineup, left arm spinner. Noshtush Kenjiga into the lineup, left arm spinner. Let's look at the bowling card here as well, right? I mean, not many runs to play with. Again, like those two guys brought in right at the end of essentially when the game was done, right? So I don't understand the mindset, right? Nisarg coming in, bowling in when this game's essentially over. Noshtush Kenjiga bowls the prior over, you know, just to get these guys involved. So is it a confidence issue? Because I'm going to bring that up again. I don't know if the team or the captain or the leadership itself have confidence in some of these players to do well. Because if they did, why not bring them on earlier over guys like Milind Kumar and Nitish Kumar? Why are they bowling up front ahead of them is my question.
Yeah. But it could be a matter of just seeing again how those guys fare at that level, to be honest with you. All right. They know they are aware of the abilities of those other guys before. So let's not read into it too much. Let's look at the warm-up. We'll do another review when they do some warm-up matches. Then we could make our opinion and evaluate from there. But right now for that series, I don't really want to really criticize a captain or anything like that. Yeah. It's an international series. We're striving to reach the top. And I think the captain is just trying to see his options, to be honest with you. So let's give them till the warm-up matches. And when we do another show, then we could come and criticize them with some constructive criticism.
Well, that sounds good, man. I totally agree with you there. You know, I'm just calling what I see on the scorecards as what it is, because if you're playing at that international level, you're selecting somebody as a specialist spinner or a specialist all-rounder, you know, you got to give them those chances to be able to perform in those roles instead of guys that are, you know, selected to bat. You know, these guys, again, I'm going to bring up a couple of these guys, the Kumar brothers or whoever they are, batted top order, number 3 and 4, scored 3 and a 7, and then come and bowl 4 overs, come and bowl a couple of overs. It seems to me like a forced performance, like, oh no, you have to perform. That's just me seeing it, man, and calling it as I see it. But we're gonna look into more of this into our other warm-ups and, you know, other videos that Mark and I are going to be bringing to you guys on USA Cricket, on West Indies Cricket. Make sure to smash that like button, subscribe to the channel. We're going to be bringing you guys a ton of World Cup content. Mark and I are working on a couple other things for you guys. You know, MSD at Cricket's launching a website soon, so a lot going on, guys. You know, so stay with us on this channel. Make sure to like, subscribe, you know, and help us get to our first goal of 20,000 subscribers, you know, right in this World Cup. First initial goal, the 20K subs, and you guys can help us get there. Make sure to support, you know, MSD at Cricket, support us in our the Reverse Scoop shop where we support youth cricket development. So thanks again, guys. Nabil Khan and Mark Audain from the Reverse Scoop signing off.